Our reading this morning opens with questions about the identity of the Messiah. John the Baptist insists that he is not the Messiah. Instead, he points ahead to the one who is coming. And whether the voice of God was heard by all or only by Jesus, God settles the matter. Jesus is God's beloved Son. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 3rd chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Pray with me, please. O God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. Grace and peace to you from the one in whom we share our baptisms, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Baptism. What is it? What is baptism? Why is it important? What is this thing that we put water on our heads? If I'm honest with you this morning, I struggle with baptism. And I realize this is because of my own baggage. As many mainline Protestants and Catholics, I was baptized as an infant. So I don't remember my baptism, but my parents took the vows, the promises for me. Later on, I would go through education, confirmation. I would affirm my own baptism and take those promises for myself. But whether it was the intention of my parents or the teachings I received, for some reason, baptism was this thing that you did right away after you were born so that just in case the unthinkable happened, you died, you would have, you would get to go to heaven. If anything, it was a life insurance policy. Or as I jokingly say, it's fire insurance. So this understanding of baptism of, okay, so we did it, it's a one and done thing, I'm good to go. Which, you know, was fine and really didn't affect my life until our son was stillborn. My son, after 37 weeks, who had a perfect gestational time, all of a sudden his heart had stopped beating. And that year was Lutheran Confessions, in which we talk about baptism. And so now I've put face to face with this harsh reality of my son, my understanding, and the reality of having a child who was unbaptized. And what was I going to do with that? And so I struggle with baptism, and I struggle with this idea of life insurance or fire insurance of one has to be baptized to be saved. And so as I wrestled with it as a student, one thing that brought me comfort at the time was knowing that there isn't an act that you and I can do as human beings that is above God. That anything that we do or don't do, God has the final say. And so I took trust in that. Josiah, while never breathing air, did participate in God's kingdom, was part of this world. He heard the songs and hymns, though he probably didn't understand a word of it. He experienced the joy of the promise of God through his mother radiating within. And so what do we do with baptism? What Why does it continue to be important in our lives if it's more than just this fire insurance? I appreciate Luke's gospel this morning as it, I think, reveals and tells us a few things, important things about what baptism means. We begin in verse 16 when John is answering the speculation of whether or not he's the Messiah. You see, John has come to bring a baptism of repentance, a baptism of water. This is a cleansing ritual in Jesus' time. You were washed with water and cleansed, made clean. You were right again. Repentance being that when we turn away from those things that keep us from God. This is a baptism John brings, and John proclaims that Jesus, who is mightier than he, comes baptizing with the Holy Spirit and fire. Also a cleansing agent. Think of a refiner's fire to melt out all the impurities. In verse 13, John furthers his conversation with saying, "His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now often when we hear this text in our minds and the way it's been taught, we start to separate individual people, those who are saved and unsaved, those who are wheat, those who are chaff. But this is not what John is talking about here. That is not the point of what he's saying. The point is that Jesus is coming to gather the wheat. Jesus has come to gather the wheat through baptism. The wheat being what is good in each and every one of us. Separating out, cleansing out the chaff that is in each and every one of us. Because let's be honest, brothers and sisters, we all have that wheat and chaff in us. We all do things that bring glory to God, and we all do things that bring us further from God. It's not about that some are wheat and some are chaff. We are both. And that's why first we see this gift of forgiveness within baptism. Baptism being a way that we receive this gift of forgiveness. Now, I want to be sure here that I emphasize that it is gift and that it's not a mechanism. Meaning that we don't become baptized so that we are forgiven, but rather we are already forgiven, we are already loved by God, and therefore we are given the gift of baptism. We are not forgiven in baptism, so God can call us beloved children. Rather, we are forgiven because we are already God's children. Now, and this communal aspect is picked up here in verse 21. Now, I'm sure you noticed that we skipped a few verses, 18 and 19 and 20, in our text. That basically just says John is in prison, which creates its own problems with the text, being that we often associate John the Baptist as the one who baptizes Jesus, but he is in prison. Jesus is baptized by the Holy Spirit in Luke's gospel. But anyways, so we pick up on this gathering idea in verse 21. Now, when all the people were baptized and when Jesus also had been baptized, I think this is really important. And I had picked up on it before. But Jesus is in the river with the people, being baptized at the same time as others. Jesus being the sinless one amongst those who are there for a baptism of repentance. You see, baptism is a communal event. That's why we practice it in community together as a church. We don't do individual baptisms with the exception of extreme circumstances. But baptism is meant to be a gathering event. Jesus is gathered with the people. He is there being baptized with others. Because I think this is about not just individual sin, but also the understanding and the cleansing that takes place at a corporate level. We have this most every Sunday in different forms of this corporate confession and forgiveness. Jesus is there with us in our sin. Because as people, we continue to support and allow systems where those go hungry, where some people are rejected because of their differences, while others are marginalized and we plunder the world we live in. You see, baptism is communal. It is a communal event of repentance, of corporate sin. But it also is a calling and an invitation into the work and support that we share in together. Finally, in verse 22 of our text, we see this great blessing in naming. And this, is, brothers and sisters, is the bread and butter of our text. The dove comes down in bodily form, and a voice from heaven says, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." Hear that promise from God again. "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." This, brothers and sisters, is the same promise that we received in our own baptism. The same promise that Jesus speaks to us again and again as he sends the Holy Spirit upon us. "You are my child, my beloved. With you I am well pleased." You are my beloved child. With you I am well pleased. So what does this have to do? Why baptism? Why is baptism continually an important piece of our life? As Lutherans, we believe that baptism is once baptized, always baptized. We don't have to continue returning to the font whenever we feel we need Jesus. Jesus is there already. But baptism, we are given names and identities as someone who is beloved by God's self. Baptism reminds us that we discover who we are. Baptism reminds us that we discover who we are in relation to whose we are. Who we are in relation to whose we are. God's beloved children. We belong to God's family, and baptism is that tangible sign in which we can remember that and experience that. Baptism is also work that is solely done by God. Baptism is wholly God's work, that we may have confidence that no matter how often we fall short or how often we fail, nothing that we do or fail to do can remove that identity which God conveys to us in this gift. Our relationship with God is the one relationship in life that we can't screw up. Precisely because God is the one who establishes it. God is the one who comes to us in baptism. God is the one who calls us to the font. God is the one who anoints us with the Holy Spirit. In this gift, we are freed, brothers and sisters. We are freed in the demands of life. We are freed by the voices around us that tell us we are not good enough. We are freed and loved to go and do the same. And no, baptism isn't just this one and done thing. Yes, we are washed once, but we continually remember our baptism through our journey of faith. Because life is just that. It's not a destination, and neither is baptism. Baptism is a journey. Baptism is a journey in which we celebrate grace along the way of faithful life. So remember this gift. Remember this in your own journey, every chance you get. Remember it as the reformers insisted that every time you come upon water, whether it be washing your face or your hands, but any time you come in contact with water, remember your baptism. So in the morning when you're showering, or evening whenever you do that, take a bath, whenever you wash your hands after going to the bathroom, whether you're out running to your car in the rain, remember your baptism. Remember that God loves you, that God is with you, and say to yourself, I am God's beloved child, called and sent to make a difference in the world. I want you to repeat that with me. I am God's beloved child, called and sent to make a difference in the world. I am God's beloved child, called and sent to make a difference in the world. I am God's beloved child, called and sent to make a difference in the world. Baptism is for you, brothers and sisters. Baptism is for you because God favors you. God is for you. God declares that you are enough. God accepts you just as you are. God in baptism desires you to do wonderful things. God desires wonderful things for you. This is why your baptism, this is why my baptism still matters today. God's unbreakable promise to see and guide us through this journey of life and faith. Amen. This next few weeks, brothers and sisters, we're going to take a little break from our lectionary series and take a deeper dive into baptism. We're going to particularly take a look at the five promises that we make in our baptism. In our baptism, when we brought our children to the font, and in our own baptism and our own affirmations of our baptism, we promise to live among God's faithful people. We promise to hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper. We promise to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed. We promise to serve all people following the example of Jesus. And we promise to strive for justice and peace in all the world. These promises we make in our baptism, these promises that God gifts to us and gives to us as holy work, as His hands and feet on this earth. Amen.